In Romans chapter 8 and verses 5, reviewing in verse 5, Paul says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And that's something that came to mind over and over and over as I researched New Age and Wicca for this conference, and realizing that some of these things sound quite outlandish, and some of the ideas that are there, and even ideas that were present in Mormonism, as Pastor Tim discussed before this, the only reason we're not there is because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And so I just want us to make sure that we remember that and focus on it. I imagine that most people here today know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you don't, have an understanding of Scripture, not that once you're saved you completely understand perfectly, but if you don't know the message of the gospel, that we're all sinners and that Jesus Christ died for your sins and He wants to spend eternity with Him in heaven, that His death on the cross can cover the punishment for our sins, I would implore you today to talk to one of the speakers or find somebody next to you. We'd love to walk you through the message of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, today we're here to discuss some of the major world religions and cults and what Scripture has to say about them. The two that we will discuss now are quite prevalent in the U.S., and particularly here in Colorado. Now, as we discuss New Age in particular, I realize that there are many people here that are quite a bit more advanced than I am as far as the experience on the earth. I was born in 85, so I missed a lot of the 60s and 70s, and what happened when New Age was rather prevalent and kind of in your face. What I'm living with is some of the more regressive, underlying philosophies that have come along as these people decided to take a bath and get a haircut and join the workforce. That sounds like joking, but like Steve Jobs was kicked out of meetings in the early days of Apple because he felt that his vegan diet made him pure and he wouldn't smell, and his coworkers disagreed. He was a staunch follower of the New Age practice. But we're going to look at these ideas of New Age and Wiccan philosophies to determine their biblical inaccuracies, show where they can and have invaded Christian belief and practice, and present the biblical response to the followers of these faiths. Now, Wicca certainly has specific tenets and can be qualified as religion. On the other hand, the New Age movement is not as well defined, and the proponents of New Age thought would oppose the idea that it is a religion. While proponents of New Age thought would oppose this idea, Scripture tells us that the human heart is always worshiping something. And so we're going to operate out of that base now. Both of them are rather obscure and don't have definitive sources, but New Age tends to be a little more dynamic in that regard. Wicca did precede the New Age movement, and while they are different systems of belief, they do have a lot of similarities, and that's why they're in the same session here today. So as we begin the discussion of Wicca and an overview of Wiccan belief, we're going to discuss the prevalence of Wicca in our society. It goes along with the therapeutic movement, the New Age movement, and aggressive feminism. We'll discuss it in a little bit, but a lot of people that have been displaced by the church, or women that feel they've been displaced by the church, or girls in their teenage years, have run to Wicca as a source because they embrace feminism. Their goal is to return to an age of the goddess. And so it's a matriarchal society, and women, the power that women hold that they believe is held in very high regard. I have a quote here from the book called Witchcraft Goes Mainstream by Brooks Alexander. If we're doubting the prevalence of Wiccanism in our society, he puts it to us this way. The first generation of elders has begun passing its paganism onto the next generation of offspring. This means that once was a band of religious oddballs has become a functioning religious community. It has become an active, self-sustaining alternative culture, a fact that has enormous implications for the future of our society and for the place of Christianity within it. The neo-pagans are on a roll and they know it. They sense that the Christian culture is in full retreat and they are advancing energetically as it succeeds. So let's discuss a few of the general principles that are covered in Wicca. One is that there are no universal guiding principles in the Wiccan faith. They have no Bible, they have no church, although some of them do meet in covens, and they have no hierarchy. Many Wiccans practice individually. There are some that do practice in covens, but there is nothing that defines what they must believe. Wiccanism seeks to return to an age once lost. Ordained Wiccan priestess Belexa Sulachi said they look to return to a golden age in which everyone worshipped a goddess and you had this peaceful matriarchal society. People were in tune with the earth and in tune with one another. They look for the oneness of all creation that must be restored. They believe that humans have great responsibility. They believe that we've been given evolutionary intellectual superiority that requires us to steward nature as they seek to commune better with the divine. It's a religion that believes that the divine is present within everyone and around everything, and we all have to come into unity. That's the next point there, is that they do believe in an inner divine. We would consider this a polytheism or a pantheism of sorts, that they believe that God exists inside everyone. They also believe in universalism. The priestess I heard in the interview that I just quoted, Belexa Sculacci, she said, "Yeah, I know Jesus Christ." She was speaking with Russell Moore, the president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. She said, "I know Jesus. I just get to him a different way than you do." They believe that all faiths lead to the same place. They do not believe in guilt or sin. They only believe in responsibility. How you would differentiate those when you fail to fulfill that responsibility, I don't know. But that's what they hold to, that there is no guilt or sin, only responsibility. And I do want to take a bit of a side note here and discuss a few principles of what Wiccanism is not. I spoke with a friend right before the conference. I told him, I learned that people that practice Wicca were not as weird as I thought they were, and that people that follow the New Age movement were weirder than I thought they were. While Satan is the father of lies, certainly appreciates the practice of Wicca, it is not Satan worship. They don't believe in evil and as such would not worship evil incarnate. They often do use a pentagram as a symbol of their faith, but the pentagram is designed in their thinking to represent five different elements. You have earth, wind, fire, water, and spirit. And that's the elements around which they base their faith. So the pentagram in their thinking does not have to deal with Satan, although we certainly recognize it as a false religion and he is pleased with it. But they do not recognize evil and therefore don't recognize Satan. Dark magic and voodoo have no place in Wicca. Most Wiccans hold to the idea of karma, and doing evil to others, in their view, would result in evil being revisited on them tenfold in this life or in the next. They believe in peace and love, and those are admirable things to believe. We would say they would pursue them in an incorrect fashion, but they do not broadly believe in dark magic. Again, there are people that practice in various ways. There are people that specifically focus on things like dark magic and voodoo, but they would not typically hold to the idea of Wiccanism as a whole. They would call it something else. Finally, the Halloween witch does not exist in Wicca. They seek peace with creation and operate within the context of their view of love. Many Wiccan ceremonies consist of praise and prayer to the goddess and various elements of the earth, lighting candles, ringing bells, and playing music throughout the ceremony, tarot cards, spells for good, and ritualistic initiation. Animal sacrifice does not happen in most covens, and while Wiccans are typically extremely sexually liberal, orgies and other sexual practices aren't commonly used as part of Wiccan ceremonies. I heard one priestess say that she was okay with whatever you wanted to do sexually, that was your business, whether you were transgender or gay or bi or whatever the case was, but that it wasn't part of their ceremonies. So they believe that as being unified with all creation, that any sexual practices are acceptable. They do not hold that those should happen in their ceremonies. Now, a quick overview of New Age belief. I'm going to read you a fairly long quote here, but it struck me greatly as I first started researching the idea of the New Age. And this book is by a lady named Marilyn Robinson. It's called The Aquarian Conspiracy. And this is the manifesto of sorts of many in the New Age movement. I read another author that said, you know, you go and you read that book and you're all energized and ready to go and take on the world for the New Age movement. So it's held in high regard by many. And in the beginning of the book, she says, a leaderless but powerful network is working to bring about radical change in the United States. Its members have broken with certain key elements of Western thought, and they may even have broken continuity with history. This network is the Aquarian Conspiracy. It is a conspiracy without a political doctrine, without a manifesto, with conspirators who seek power only to disperse it and whose strategies are pragmatic, even scientific, but whose perspectives sound so mystical that they hesitate to discuss it. Activists asking different kinds of questions, challenging the establishment from within. Broader than reform, deeper than revolution, this benign conspiracy for a new human agenda has triggered the most rapid cultural realignment in history. The great shuddering, irrevocable shift overtaking us is not a new political, religious, or philosophical system. It is a new mind, the ascendance of a startling worldview that gathers into its framework breakthrough science and insights from the earliest recorded thought. The Aquarian conspirators range across all levels of income and education, from the humblest to the highest. There are school teachers and office workers, famous scientists, government officials and lawmakers, artists and millionaires, taxi drivers and celebrities, leaders in medicine, education, law, psychology. Some are open in their advocacy and their names may be familiar. Others are quiet about their involvement, better believing they can be more effective if they are not identified with ideas that have all too often been misunderstood. There are legions of conspirators. They are in corporations, universities, and hospitals, on the faculties of public schools, in factories, and doctor's offices, in state and federal agencies, on city councils and the White House staff, in state legislatures and volunteer organizations, and virtually all arenas of policymaking in the country. So in the 60s and 70s, we did see a rise in these energies and the use of crystals and very public proclamations of peace and love and that kind of thing. But I've read New Age, followers of the New Age that said, we decided if we cut our hair and got jobs, that we could take it over from the inside instead. And that's exactly what Marilyn Robinson is referring to here, is that they have infiltrated every level of society. So now they're in Congress and they're in the Senate. They're on the White House staff. We'll talk later about examples where I wouldn't say necessarily that the Obama family follows the New Age movement, but they've integrated some of those practices into public policy. It's a very aggressive movement, and we're going to discuss some of the general principles that define the New Age. Again, there are no universal guiding principles. People practice individually, people practice together, but there's nothing similar to Wicca that defines them specifically, though they tend to be a little more aggressive in their approaches and liberal in their beliefs. One thing that almost all people that pursue the New Age movement agree on is the Age of Aquarius. We all remember the song, this is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. Pastor Tim and I watched the video in his office. And our accountant Becky came over and said, I sang that when I was in show choir in junior high. And she said, I had no idea what it meant then, but I know what it means now. The idea of the Age of Aquarius is the ultimate rise to the highest level of consciousness. This isn't a political movement, like they said. It isn't what they, in their view, a religious movement. It's everyone ascending to this Age of Aquarius. Philosopher Beatrice Bruto put it this way. She said, we cannot wait for the world to turn, for times to change that we might change with them, for the revolution to come and carry us around in its new course. We ourselves are the future. We are the revolution. And that's part of the Age of Aquarius, is that they look towards the inner divine. They look to manifest what is inside each and every one of us, to grow it into this great thing, and to see everyone live in perfect peace and love because of it. They do not believe in sin or evil. They only believe in peace and love. And they believe that all religions are of equal value and that they all lead to the same place. Again, many of these are similar with what they believe in Wicca. They believe in the unity of all intelligent kind. They may not move into the environmental aspect as much as they do in Wicca, though they do feel that it is important for us to steward the earth in general. They believe that all intelligent kind have this same divine inside and that we're all trying to ascend to this age of Aquarius. And the reason I have to say intelligent kind and not humankind is because they have a strong belief in aliens and UFOs. Randall Bayer was a New Age practitioner, lecturer, and author, and he has since been saved and wrote a book called The New Age Nightmare. He said in his book, "You might think that surely all this totally bizarre New Age UFO drama is probably just an isolated incident. But in fact, it's not really that uncommon a New Age scenario at all. Would you believe that more than 75% of New Agers hold a completely unshakable belief in the reality of UFOs? Actually, 75% is probably an understatement. It's most likely around 85 to 95%. Even further, a solid percentage of New Agers, I'd estimate 50% or more, truly believe that they are alien or angelic beings that have reincarnated today into human form. For instance, John Denver has made public the belief that he originated from a place near the Lyra Nebula. And Shirley MacLaine's best-selling book and TV miniseries, Out on a Limb, the UFO connection plays a major role in her cosmic vision quest. MacLaine's mentor, David, claims to have had romantic and spiritual involvement with an alien woman named Mayan. In general, believing that you're from Orion, Sirius, or Pleiades, star systems, among others, are very popular New Age self-concepts. Personally, I was convinced completely that my celestial home was Orion." It's a very prevalent belief. They believe that all intelligent kind comes together. And this feeds into other rather odd philosophies like ancient alien theories. Mormons believe in aliens on different planets that are our gods. They also believe in spirit guides. And this is one of the areas that concerned me most as I read Randall Bayer's book on this. He said that he and his friend Jamie moved to Santa Fe. They believe in energy, and that's the entire idea behind ascending to this next level of consciousness, are these energies that are locked in everybody and that are all around us. And there's different vortices where these energies are condensed in good places of these spiritual powers. They're often in deserts, which tend to be rather fantastic places or places that inspire awe. They've been in Arizona and places in California. Jamie and Randall moved to Santa Fe, and while they were there and they were working whatever they needed or whatever jobs they needed to work to get by or having garage sales to get by, they spent the good majority of their time focused on manifesting these energies. And his friend Jamie would become possessed for hours at a time and speak to him. And they were told that these were the spirit guides, and they had various names that they used. Well, the spirit guides also gave Randall instruction on crystals and their use. They told him that he needed to write a book on crystals. And Randall in his book testifies that a spirit guide instructed him to place 12 crystals in a circle, to place another one in the center as the third eye, and then to hang a pyramid crystal over his head, and then to sit in the middle of this circle of crystals as he wrote a book on crystals. And he says for 3 months, for 10 to 12 hours a day, he took a notepad and a pen and sat in the circle of crystals as spirit guides spoke to him, and he took notes on whatever they said. He said that his work when he wasn't in the circle was to kind of distill this information into a book format, and then he did some research on the geological and historical information on crystals. And that's how we ended up with this book. And back in the early 80s, it became the most widely published book on crystals in the New Age movement. Now, we would certainly recognize these as demonic forces. God doesn't speak to us that way, and certainly we don't have truth conveyed that way. Psychedelic drugs are also very popular within the New Age movement. Again, the entire goal is to ascend to the next level. That's what they're hoping for. That's the the culmination of all of human history is to evolve and release these energies and ascend to the next level. Drugs like LSD in particular and shrooms are helpful in getting them there, tripping on acid. That's very prevalent, and you even see in biographies of guys like Steve Jobs, who was very into the New Age movement, lots of involvement with drugs, seeking to ascend or get to the next place. Yoga, we're going to discuss a little bit more in a moment, but yoga is one of the primary means by which people that follow the New Age movement seek to ascend to that next level. Many view yoga as simply a physical fitness regimen. It's not. It's designed to release energies from the your bottom chakra that's at the base of your spine to the top chakra that's at the crown of your head, and to have these energies flow through so that you're more in tune with the divine, more in tune with the next consciousness. There are sexual, spiritual, and supernatural reasons for this. Again, we'll discuss those here in just a little bit. Psychology. As Marilyn Robinson stated, New Agers have infiltrated the realm of psychology, but there are basic principles involved with psychology and the doctrines of psychology that point us towards the New Age. Journalist Martin Gross said this. He said, "Psychotherapy is a key ritual of our 20th century psychological religion. In this ritual, the impressionable patient's hope and faith are coupled with the healer's belief in his own magical powers. The combination creates a persuasive setting of suspended reality. It is industrial society's sophisticated imitation of the witch doctor's primitive healing technique. It is now obvious that most tenets of the psychological society, including psychotherapy, are Western man's disguise for a new spirituality. It is the educated person's opportunity to practice religion under the cloak of science. Enables us to call on occult powers of healing while appeasing our Western need for a rational underpinning. It makes little difference that each of the psychotherapies has a different faith." The Associate Professor of Educational Psychology at Boston College, William Kirk Kilpatrick, said this. He said, "I was blissfully unaware of the discrepancy between my psychological precepts and my actual experience. I was also unaware of the growing discrepancy between my psychological creed and my religious one. The fact that such a discrepancy existed was muffled by the noise of many clerical voices lifted in praise of psychology. A priest introduced me to the writings of Carl Rogers, and a minister suggested that I read Maslow and Fromm. I had developed a mental habit of seeing harmony in all things. I was fond of the phrase, 'all knowledge is one.' I sought synthesis everywhere. Religious, philosophical, psychological, and sociological ideas blended easily and conveniently." So they don't often state outright association with the New Age movement, but the ideas of the synthesis of all knowledge as one. We're going to look into ideas of the exaltation of self or the releasing of inner potential and self-esteem here in a minute, and how those feed into the kind of doctrines that we see present in New Age thought. There are some dangerous places of integration into society and Christianity that we must be aware of. Yoga is one of the most prevalent right now. Physical fitness is important for believers as stewards of God's temple. We don't want to deny that at all. It's imperative that we take care of what God's given us stewardship over, and we need to do a good job with that, but we must not place ourselves in the pursuit of paganism while we do it. All yoga is derived from practices designed to raise kundalini. Speaking of yoga practice, after the Easter egg roll at the White House with the children on the lawn, yoga author and practitioner Stephanie Simon writes, "The yoga on display that April day had been extracted and distilled like some homeopathic remedy from centuries-old Hindu Hatha yoga scriptures. The purpose of practicing Hatha yoga, including the postures as well as internal cleansing practices and breathing exercises, is to raise kundalini, a powerful energy which is typically lodged in the bottom chakra at the base of your spine to the crown of your head, the top chakra." Now, Simon does continue then in this section of her book to differentiate between the yoga that was being practiced that day and the pursuits that continue on, but she says they are distilled from it, they are rooted in it. This was a health initiative that Mrs. Obama took place in with the kids on the lawn afterwards. There have been lots of other people in our politics long before the Obamas were on the scene that follow the New Age movement, that follow yoga practices. I don't want to call them out in particular, but it's just a good example that it has invaded our society in many different ways. Sexual practices are a big part of yoga. So-called sex magic or tantras are part of many kinds of yoga. We don't need to discuss the details here, but many yoga poses are oriented towards sexual energy being released. The stuff that was said in the books that I read about it, I don't want to share in church. So we can know that there are lots of ways that sex is being brought into it. Simon, in her book, had a lot of information on that. But again, we don't need to go there. A side note is that Pilates is a safe alternative. Douglas Gruthus is a professor at Denver Seminary, and he's written rather extensively on the topic of New Age. If any of you are practicing yoga now, I know it's prevalent, and a lot of people don't know about the connection between New Age and yoga, or they think it's lighter than it is. Yoga is heavily steeped in New Age doctrine. It's all designed to release these energies. But Dr. Gruthus said that Pilates is a good alternative, so that's just a public service announcement for you there. Regarding psychology, not all psychologists are New Age practitioners, but many of the theories are rooted in the same concepts. Self-esteem encourages one to go into self to find value instead of looking to Christ. The Bible calls self-esteem pride. And it's all about going into self. The idea of self-esteem is about going into self to discover more. That goes along with the concept of the inner divine that we see present in the New Age. You're looking to manifest what is inside. Again, there's introspection. We're going to talk about meditation here in a minute as well. But your goal in the New Age movement is to go further into yourself. That's what yoga is designed for, to align these energies. That's what meditation is designed for, to journey further and further into self. The realization of human potential. Psychology is based on the idea of the realization of human potential. The potential inside every person is what must be unleashed for proper function. And it sounds an awful lot like the inner divine of the New Age and Wicca. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Revelation 3, verses 10 through 18, gives quite the indictment of the human species, of humankind. We don't want to go into ourselves further because our hearts are wicked. We want to look to Christ and place our value in Him. Holistic health. And this is another topic that is widely misunderstood and is often rather sensitive. Care for one's nutrition, like physical fitness, is absolutely important. And you have to understand my background when I'm coming to this. My wife likes to do organic everything. She makes her own elderberry syrup for when we're sick. She brews her own kombucha, which is a fermented black tea. My two kids have a green smoothie with my wife every morning. We're very aware of some of the benefits of natural nutrition, but there is danger here as well. The goal of holistic health is to treat not only sickness, but the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. In a Christian worldview, we would approach that with the idea that we must care for our bodies as part of the stewardship that God has given to us, and then operate in that vein so that we can please Him on the spiritual level, which they are integrated. But our goal is to please Christ, not to treat the whole person, to resolve the sickness with body, mind, and spirit. Douglas Gruthus, in his book, he starts by quoting Voltaire. He says, "Physicians pour drugs of which they know little to cure diseases of which they know less into humans of which they know nothing." And that was quoting Voltaire. Gruthus continues and says, "Discontent with establishment medicine, coupled with a gnawing feeling of helplessness in the face of death and disease, has brought many to the purported healing fount of holistic health." The medical establishment has done some wondrous things, but there are things that are failed at. We're in a society that recommends a pill for every ill. we look towards doctors and pharmacists to cure even spiritual ills at times. And that's stuff that is rooted in a lack of faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that those steps often turn to pagan philosophies as much as the holistic health movement does. But the mistrust that has been built in the medical establishment has helped to fuel that. Energy, not matter, is the key to health. That's one of the large ideas behind the holistic health movement, is that your goal is to release energy. You're to remove the interferences within yourself. Part of that is chiropractic and acupuncture, which, again, we'll discuss in a moment. But the idea is to release this energy, to let energy flow within you and those around you so that you can properly function. They're not addressing the physical being of the body, but these energies that they see within the body. Meditation is a widely spread practice in the New Age movement. Meditation is praised in Scripture. Psalm 1 says that we should meditate on Scripture day and night. The difference between biblical meditation and the meditation that's pursued in the New Age movement is that the New Age and Wicca look to meditate further on self, to journey further into self, and to find the inner divine. I've even listened to some people. We tend to follow a more gluten-free paleo-style diet at home. And I have listened to some folks that were doing podcasts on the paleo movement. And they were talking about the ways to prepare food. If you don't know what paleo is, it's meat, fish, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. And that's about it. That's what you eat. So they're discussing ways to prepare foods, ways to make life easier as you pursue this kind of diet. But then they started talking about meditation. And they're saying, oh, you're just clearing your mind. You're just relaxing your body. But the goal is to, in the New Age movement, is to align these energies to let them flow more easily. What the Bible tells us to meditate on is Christ and on Scripture. We don't need to meditate on self or journey further into self. We see that with psychology as well. Often hypnotism is used or shock therapies, or they want you to lay on a couch and go further back and regress your past and dig into who you are. It is good to deal with past sin and past trauma, but Scripture says we're to meditate on God, on His Word, on His Son, Jesus Christ, and not on ourselves. Again, our hearts are deceitful above all things. We don't need to journey further into them to right what is wrong with the world. We need to look to Christ. And next, chiropractic and acupuncture. They can be practiced to God's glory. I moved here recently, or a year ago now, a little over a year ago, from Missouri, where I was going to seminary. And one of my neighbors and my friend Ryan was a chiropractor. And I went to Ryan on a regular basis. I go to a chiropractor now on a regular basis. We recognize that there are times when, because of the curse, our bodies get out of line and our spines are messed up or our ribs are out of place or whatever the case might be. And I think God in His grace has equipped people with the knowledge that you can adjust these bones or move these muscles in a way that helps to align things better and your body functions more properly again. I've never been to an acupuncturist myself, but I know believers that have been to even Christian acupuncturists. And there's places where muscles get tense, and if you stimulate certain places, the tension is relieved. I think that's part of God's grace to us. But these are typically, in the world as a whole, extensions of holistic health. They're looking to align energies. I've even been to Christian chiropractors that showed videos of when you move the C1, the vertebra at the top of your spine, when you move that that vertebra, everything else lines up and these energies flow down in a more efficient fashion. Now, we can say, yes, our nerves work better, blood flow is increased because it's not being pinched off or whatever. But these ideas of energies being aligned so that they can flow better is a pagan idea. Acupuncture, again, they stimulate these places to try and release energies and to free things up in your body. We are to consider matter, not energy. That's our goal as believers when we consider our bodies. These are things that are going to fade away. We know they're broken. We know they're dying. It's just part of the biblical truth of human existence. So to cover a couple of quick doctrinal errors that both New Age and Wicca hold to. The first is polytheism or pantheism. Both of these religions adhere to an inner deity present in everyone that is to be manifested and worshipped. Wicca in particular will believe that all is God. The New Age belief typically more centers around intelligent kind, like we said. So you're looking at a polytheism of this God is in everyone, but you see the pantheism aspect with Wicca. Scripture is clear that there is only one God. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that alone is Jesus Christ. We also look at our source of knowledge or instruction. Both of these religions say that man must seek spiritual instruction and direction from the spirit world. We are to seek instruction and direction from the Word of God, from teaching and advice on the Word of God, and as we are convicted by the Holy Spirit. Those are our only means of instruction. We look to Scripture, we look to those that biblically counsel us or teach us on Scripture, and we look to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The idea is that there are these energies that must be aligned to invite these pagan deities around, or that elements of the earth or nature itself will speak to us, like in Wicca. These are pagan philosophies. Both religions look inside of man as the key. We've already talked about it. Romans 3 and Jeremiah 17:9 say very differently. Christ is the key. Both religions deny evil. Ecclesiastes 12:14 tells us that God will judge every deed, whether good or evil. John 8:44 tells us that the Pharisees were of their father the devil. We know from Scripture that evil deeds exist, as do spirits and people that are evil. But remember, exercise grace as you encounter these things. Yes, there's people that sit in circles of crystals for hours a day, for months at a time, to receive things. But they don't know any different. As we read in Romans 8, they're incapable of doing something that will please God. When we look to point them to Christ, there are several areas that we can consider. But as we do, I want to point to some areas of sympathy with practitioners of both New Age and Wicca. I think these areas of sympathy, the good things that they are looking for, are ways that we can help point them to Christ. The driving force for many that enter New Age and Wicca is to better themselves and those around them. They have in mind things like worldwide peace, doing good for and to others, responsibly stewarding our environment, and self-improvement. The problem with these philosophies, like many of the world, is that they're twisted and that they deceive. Worldwide peace is not is desired, but it is not the peace of Jesus Christ. Others are served, but only as a means of receiving back good to yourself, we saw in the Wiccan tenfold principle. The environment is stewarded, but not for the glory of the Creator. They seek to be kinder, wiser, physically fit, and loving, but truth never enters the picture. But we can use these good things that they're looking for to help point them towards Christ. The Age of Aquarius, or the Age of the Goddess that that both of these faiths are looking for, we can point them towards New Jerusalem. In Revelation 21, verse 1, John tells us, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" The followers of the New Age movement and the Wicca movement see a broken world around them. That's what they're hoping to fix. They don't know Jesus Christ, so they're turning to something else to try and find a way to fix the brokenness that's around them. That's what we see with politicians, right? They see something broken, and they go to fix it. The problem is many of our politicians don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. And so we end up with skewed and damaged and broken ways of looking to fix this stuff. We can talk to believers of New Age and believers of Wicca faiths and point them to New Jerusalem and say, I know you want to return to this perfect age. You know what? I want to return to the garden. I want to return to when we were able to commune with God and we were able to walk faithfully. We can look at New Age believers when they say, I want to get to the age of Aquarius and say, New Jerusalem's coming. Be part of it. Turn to Jesus Christ. They believe that what they do now will benefit them in the next life. We can point them towards a crown of glory that we will one day throw at the feet of Christ. They believe that what they do now will be visited on them in this life or the next. Well, there are natural consequences to what we do, and we recognize that as believers, and so we know that things are revisited upon us in this life, but we also know that every thought and every deed is going to be brought into judgment. And we can tell them, yes, what you do now does matter for eternity, and it will echo in eternity. But we point them towards the crown of glory that we will one day receive if we endure, if we turn to Christ. An area of some sensitivity is that Christians often disregard care for the environment, but it is pivotal that we steward it well. There are times when we've become trapped in a political philosophy or something of that nature, or we see people of the New Age movement or a Wiccan movement practicing stewardship of the environment, and that kind of puts us off, and we think, that's hippie stuff, or I don't need to do that. Well, God's given us a planet that we must care for and maintain. And we don't care for it because we want it to last forever. We don't care for it because it's a place for us. We care for it because it reflects the glory of the Father. In Psalm 8, David says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The creation God has provided for us is something we are to steward and to care for, and it's our responsibility. And we have largely neglected that. We were on our third kid. We just switched to cloth diapers because I started thinking about this stuff, and I'm like, I can't keep throwing those things in the landfill. We've never seen a diaper just, what's the word I'm looking for? Disintegrate or decompose. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. I heard lots of voices and had to hear a clear one. We've never seen a disposable diaper decompose. So now my greatest fear of having poop in my washing machine has been realized. That's always why I told my wife we couldn't do them beforehand. But I said, we got to be good stewards. And it's a lot cheaper long run. So we are to care for the environment. And there are times when we need to say, yeah, a lot of believers haven't done this well. A lot of believers have turned away from this. We see the same thing with women that have been spurned by the church and turned to the New Age movement. I'm sure some of the Wiccan movement in particular, I'm sure some of those claims are unfounded. But a lot of people and a lot of churches have sinned against a lot of people. And we need to recognize that and say, yes, but you're not talking about the church, you're talking about Jesus. And his bride isn't perfect, but we're working on it. We have to point them towards him. They seek to be transformed, but true transformation only comes from Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4, he says, If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We've died, we've been changed, and one day we're going to be perfected, we'll appear with him in glory. And that's the great hope of every believer, and that's what we need to point these people to. We can talk all day about the dangers of Wicca and the New Age. We can look at their beliefs and seek to point them towards Christ through the various beliefs that they hold. The fact of the matter is that only the gospel will change their hearts. As we talked about in the beginning, Romans 8 tells us they cannot please God. There is no ability for the unbeliever to recognize the things of God. But the only hope for anyone to recognize the things of God is to know the message of the gospel and to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and have their hearts changed so that they're capable of understanding it. Whether it's Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or Catholicism, anywhere that we're going to be looking today and tomorrow, our only hope for any of them is to point them towards Jesus Christ and the gospel. We must be faithful to preach the gospel. Please don't argue with them about specific aspects of their beliefs in a confrontational manner. Again, like Pastor Tim said, we can take different aspects and point them towards Jesus. We can take some of the hopes of Wicca and the New Age and say, yeah, you're pursuing it this way, but this is what the Bible says about it, and this is how we get there. There are great benefits to knowing these faiths and to being able to communicate truth to them. But we're not to try to beat them with superior intellect or logic. We're to point them to Jesus, because without Jesus, we'd all be, if not in the same place, in a similar one, worshiping pagan things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for the gift of salvation, and that you've enabled us to honor you as we have a new birth in Christ. I pray as we look down to Colorado Street, and you can drive down that road and look at crystal shops up and down. You can look at places that sell mystical things or do tarot card readings. Lord, I pray we'd have compassion when we see them, that we would love them well, recognize where they have hopes of an eternity that has been restored. And I pray that we would faithfully communicate that that eternity can be restored only through your Son. Thank you again for your word, and this time together, in Jesus' name.